Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning, the morning of Jum'ah, a morning in which we ought to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved of the days in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a day in which we ought to increase our recital of the Quran, increase in our nafil salah, increase in our dhikr, in our ibadat, in our dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from each and every one of us. Being a Friday morning, every Friday morning between the hours of 9 and 10, we have the program on the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Our guest on this program is Malana Muhammad Akko, and Malana speaks on the lives of various Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. There was the Sahabi that Malana is going to speak about today. He's a very famous Sahabi, but a lot of the details of these Sahaba are not known. And this is a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was adopted by Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his son. And we know from the ayat of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that your adopted son cannot be regarded as your real son. Then Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a son by the name of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And it is about these two Sahaba that Maulana Muhammad Akko will be speaking to us today, educating us about the life of these two Sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us that we can learn about the Sahaba, we can love the Sahaba, and we can live our lives, live pure lives like how the Sahaba had lived and how they had served the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us listen attentively.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to my respected listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all for his mubarak deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us to attend the Ijtima. It was really something so amazing. We benefited so much, alhamdulillah. So much of sacrifice taking place all around the world, and the Ijtima created such an environment that reminded us of the environment of Sahaba, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as our ulama explained, that coming into an environment where the effort of deen is taking place, with the amal that Sahaba radiallahu anhum did, that environment where Sahaba radiallahu anhum did the amal that was taught to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we come into that environment, we will gain hidayat. Alhamdulillah, so many new brothers were met at the Ijtima. It was really very, very effective. Affected our hearts, alhamdulillah. And so much of khidmah and sacrifice. Alhamdulillah, today we're going to discuss a great Sahabi who was known as the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba knew him. That was his title. Hibbu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man is the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on other occasions he was known as Hib ibn al-Hib, the beloved, the son of the beloved. Why was he known like that? Because his father was the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before him. Alhamdulillah. His father was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and so loved by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the initial days. We have spoken about this Sahabi's mother before. His mother's name was Ummu Ayman Baraka. Ummu Ayman. This Sahabi's father's name was Zayd. Zayd was the only Sahabi mentioned in the Quran Kareem. I want you to ask for maaf because if there is noise around, I'm actually far away from home. We actually came to make khidmah of one Jamaat from Makkah Mukarramah, to make Nusra for them. First time they're coming out in the path of Allah, teachers from the university there, and they wanted to see how beautiful is they wanted to see our Ijtima, so they came. So they actually came to make their khidmah. So wherever else I went, there was no link. At this place, there is link. So please forgive me for the rowdiness that could be found. His father was so beloved to Rasulullah, and he was with Rasulullah from the initial stages. Long before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed prophethood and invited to Allah ta'ala. His father was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a gift by Khadija radiallahu anha. So his father, being young, was taken as a slave and was purchased by Hakim bin Hizam and then was presented to Khadija radiallahu anha as a gift by her nephew Hakim bin Hizam. Khadija radiallahu anha gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this gift, Zayd. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him so much and treated him with so much of respect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated him like a son. But in that, Zayd's father was very emotional and was in the search for his son. Wherever he went, he couldn't find his son, searching for his son up and down. The poetry rendered by his father, searching for his son, is recorded in history. Bakaytu ala Zayd walam adri ma fa'al, حي فيرجى أم أتاتونه الأجل فوالله لا أدري وإني لسائل أغالك بعدي السهل أم غالك الجبل تذكرني الشمس عند طلوعها وتعرض ذكراه إذا غربها أفل. These are some of the couplets of Zayd, of Zayd's father, Haritha. He's searching for his son. He says that, oh my son, I will never give up looking for you. I don't know where you are. Are you lost in the mountains? Are you lost in the lands, the highlands, the lowlands? Every time the sun rises, it reminds me of you, Zayd. Every time the sun sets, it reminds me of you, Zayd, looking for his son. He couldn't find his son. It was 1 year that one of the relatives of Zayd's father came for Hajj pilgrimage that time. And he meets Zayd in Makkah. He was so happy, he went to his father's house with the info, with the information. I found your son. Zayd's father, Haritha, with Zayd's uncle, take a lot of money, they go to Makkah. They go to meet the master of Zayd. Who is the master? Janabi Rasulullah s.a.w. Muhammad s.a.w. But this was long before Nabi s.a.w. became the messenger of Allah. They come with him, to him, and say, oh, the son of Abdul Muttalib, you are a man of justice. This is our son. We'll purchase him from you. You name your price, we want him. Nabi s.a.w. said, I cannot sell him to you. If he wants to go with you, he is yours. I do not want to separate father and son. Nabi s.a.w. called Zayd. Oh, Zayd, who's the... So my respected listeners, Zayd's father finally comes to Makkah Mukarramah. He allocates his son. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I cannot charge you anything. He's welcome to go with you. And Zayd gives his response. He's now given an option to return with his father and uncle home as someone liberated, or to stay with the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is Zayd's choice. My respected listeners, Zayd said, there's no choice in the matter, O Muhammad. I can never choose anyone with thee. You are more than a father to me. You're more than an uncle to me. You're more than everyone else to me. By the respect of this, ponder over this response of this youngster. His father was Muzaffar. How can you, my son, choose being a slave over going with your father and uncle? He says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more to me than anything else. My respected listeners, ponder for a few moments. Zayd prefers to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not yet the Nabi of Allah. He hadn't yet invited to Allah ta'ala as the messenger of Allah. And Zayd prefers to be with him even more than with his own father, uncle and family. Why, my respected listeners? This is the akhlaq of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq was immaculate, was amazing. That Zayd says, I will not choose anyone over you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so affected and emotioned by the scene that this youngster prefers to be with him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picks him up, puts him on his shoulders, makes the announcement in front of the Kaaba that, oh Quraysh, Zayd is my adopted son. I adopt him. He is my son. He will inherit from me, I will inherit from him. Zayd's father was so impressed at this scene. He says, what an honor, greater honor can be there for my son, to be the son of the noblest of all people. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was known for his honesty, integrity, nobility. And Zayd remained with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became the Nabi of Allah, Zayd was with him. He was among the first to accept Islam. And then time went on. It was one occasion in the Meccan period, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba, why he said this to Sahaba? Because, just going back to Zayd's wife, from where this Sahabi comes from, who we're going to be speaking about. This Zayd's wife was Ummu Ayman. And now Ummu Ayman was the woman who took care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father passed away, and then his mother, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inherited Ummu Ayman. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liberated her, freed her. So from this union, my respected listeners, of Zayd and Ummu Ayman, Allah blessed them with this child Usama. So like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Zayd so much, and he loved Ummu Ayman so much, he loved Usama bin Zayd so much. Zayd was known as his beloved, and Usama bin Zayd was known as the beloved, the son of the beloved. When was he born? 9 years before the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Approximately 8 to 9 years. Five years after Nubuwa. And Usama bin Zayd was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him very, very close. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him very, very much. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hug him and Hassan radiallahu anhuma. And he would say, oh Allah, I love them. Fahibbahuma. Oh my Allah, you must love them. Oh my Allah, you love these two children. This was Hassan and Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhuma. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him so much. Even Aisha radiallahu anha would say, Aisha radiallahu anha says, that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, man kana yuhibbu Allah wa rasulahu falyuhibbu Usama. He who loves Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should love Usama bin Zayd. This comes in Majmu' al-Zawahid. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him so much, that on one occasion, his face needed to be cleaned. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Aisha, clean his face. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, I didn't have much experience in that regard, because I didn't have children of my own, so I didn't do it perfectly. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the child and washed his face and cleaned him. And it was one occasion also where Usama bin Zayd fell at the doorstep and he got hurt, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself cleaned him and washed him and helped him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Usama so much, it's in the report of Tirmidhi, that Usama radiallahu anhu said, I was sitting with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Ali and Abbas radiallahu anhuma sought permission to enter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Usama radiallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah, Ali and Abbas radiallahu anhuma are asking permission to enter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Usama, do you know why they have come? I said, no. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I know why they have come. They both were given permission. They said, O Nabi of Allah, we have come to ask you, which of your family you love the most? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I love Fatima binti Muhammad. O Nabi of Allah, we asking you in regards to your family after that and so forth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one I love the most is he who Allah has favored and I have favored. And Allah speaks of this in the Quran. وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah speaks of the one who Allah favored with iman, with deen. And you favored, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through liberating him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I love him who Allah has favored and I have favored, Usama bin Zayd. Then they asked, O Nabi of Allah, who then? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Then Abbas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Nabi of Allah, you're making your uncle last. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but Ali radiallahu anhu made hijrah before you. So this is a hadith to show how much love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Something interesting to note is, Zayd radiallahu anhu was very bright in skin, the father. And the son Usama radiallahu anhu was very dark in skin. So some people used to attack Usama and attack the family to say that, no, this is not your father. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew this is the father and this is the son. So it was on one occasion that pleased Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man by the name of Mujazziz al-Mudraji or Mujazzar al-Mudraji. And he was known to have the knowledge of seeing the faces and seeing the feet. And he could actually judge from there that judge the genes of a father and son. And this was something that was accepted by the Quraysh. So he had commented and he saw both the feet of Usama and Zayd, but one was black in color and the other was white in color. He looked at both the feet and he said, these feet come from each other, meaning the son comes from the father. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very happy because this could keep some of the munafiqeen quiet who were trying to attack Usama and Zayd. And because they were very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this would hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Mujazzar said, inna hadhi al-aqtam ba'duha min ba'd, this feet comes from that one, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very happy. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held Usama in so much of respect, by respected listeners, that on many occasions, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would actually put Usama with him on the camel. Usama radiallahu anhu would be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the camel with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, it was on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting to travel now from Arafah to Muzdalifah. But he was waiting for someone. So some people were thinking, who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waiting for? Because he's waiting for someone and all of us are waiting for him. And afterwards they see this young man who was black in skin, whose nose was, in the hadith it comes, aftas. It was, with a description of aftas, which is flat. So some people from Yemen said, and they see this young man getting onto the camel, embarking with Rasulullah SAW. So they commented and said, إِنَّمَا حُبِثْنَا مِنْ أَجْلِ هَذَا. Were we held back and delayed for this man here? And historians report that this, because of this disrespect of Usama and disregard for the one who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to wait for, some of the people of Yemen became murtad during the reign of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu because of them belittling the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the status of the Sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My respected listeners, let's ponder for a moment. For at number one, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's regard for Usama. Number two, the status of Usama radiallahu anhu and the status of the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the importance of respecting the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it was on many occasions Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would call Usama to ride on with him. Even on the occasion of Fatih Makkah, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered Makkah, he's Radif. Radif is someone who sits on the camel with you. He's Radif, his riding companion was Usama. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam disembarked from his camel by the Kaaba, and he entered the Kaaba, himself, Usama, and Uthman bin Talha. And then the Kaaba door was closed, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made ibadat inside the Kaaba. Amongst those who were with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Usama radiallahu ta'ala. It was on one occasion, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhumah says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to visit us, and on his conveyance with him was Usama bin Zaid. We gave him nabid to drink. Nabid is date juice. Date placed in a jug of water overnight. And the next morning, it is drank. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enjoyed it and said, Ahsantum, fahakadha fasna'u. Very well, well made. Meaning the date juice was very nice. But Usama was with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the conveyance, on many occasions. My respected listener. On one occasion, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on his donkey with a very simple saddle. And he called Usama, and he put Usama along with him on the donkey, and they went to visit Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, who was ill. This was before the occasion of Badr. So on many occasions, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was called for Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was on one occasion that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had received a very, very thick garb, cloak, kubtiya. Dihya Kalbi gave it to him as a gift, gave it to Janab Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a gift. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in turn gave it to Usama as a gift. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, why are you not wearing that jubbah I gave you? He said, O Nabi of Allah, it was beautiful material, I gave it to my wife. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Usama, just tell your wife that you must put another garment under it as well, because it mustn't be too thin to expose her limbs, the size of her limbs, meaning when she comes out of her home. Who was the wife of Usama radiallahu anhu? It was Fatima binti Qais al-Tahriya al-Qurashiyya. Usama's wife was Fatima binti Qais. She said, I was very, very happy with my husband. In the riwayat of Muslim, the hadith mentions how Usama got married to Fatima binti Qais. Fatima was formerly divorced by another sahabi by the name of Abu Amr bin Hafs. And then she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you don't have any nafaqa. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her to wait for her iddah. And she was given a place in Abdullah bin Ummi Maktum radiallahu anhu's house to wait her iddah. She says, when I came out of my iddah, I went to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I mentioned to him that Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan and Abu Jaham, these two men have both radiallahu anhum proposed for me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her counsel and gave her advice that I don't feel any of the two, but I would feel best for you is to marry Usama bin Zaid. She says, at that time I disliked that opinion or that advice of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam impressed upon me, no, marry Usama bin Zaid, I see good in it for you. She says, I got married to Usama bin Zaid. فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا. Allah put good for me in that marriage. وَغْتَبَتُ. I was so happy that others envied me in my union with my husband. That was the greatness of this sahabi and the akhlaq of this sahabi and the hikmat in the counseling of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On many occasions, my respected listeners, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask mashura. He would make mashura with Usama. What's your opinion in this regard? What's your opinion in that regard? Even on the occasion of where the munafiqeen had spread rumors in regards to Aisha radiallahu anha. Obviously it was false, fabricated remarks in regards to Aisha radiallahu anha, and Allah Ta'ala revealed verses of the Quran explaining her status, liberating her, and proclaiming her purity. On that occasion also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called for Usama and made mashura with him. Usama was so close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Sahaba knew if they sent Usama to intercede by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for any matter, that matter would be granted. Usama would come to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and intercede on anyone's regard, or on anyone's behalf. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would accept Usama, okay, done. On one occasion, he said, I came to intercede for someone who had stolen, and she had come from a noble family. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very, very upset. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Usama, this is Allah's order, and you interceding that Allah's order must be forsaken? Not possible. Do not make intercession in regards to hudud, in regards to the boundaries of Allah Ta'ala's deen, O Usama. Even Sahaba had so much of respect for Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was on one occasion, Usama radiallahu anhu mentioned that we were sent in the path of Allah Ta'ala with Ghalib bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. Ghalib was made the Amir. We were sent in the direction of Najd. It was the seventh year after Hijrah. And on this occasion, there was battle. The enemy attacked us. We fought. And then we won. They were running away. In turn, there was one man who was fighting and he killed many Muslims. Mirdas bin Nahik Ghatfani. Usama says, I had a chance with him. I went for him. And before I could strike him, he said, La ilaha illallah. Usama says, radiallahu anhu, I still killed him. Because from the situation, I analyzed that he was just saying this because of fear for death. Why did he kill so many Sahaba before that? Sahaba returned. When the Kar Guzari, when the report of this was presented to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Usama, you come tell me also. I want to hear from you. He mentioned the whole incident to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then he mentioned, O Nabi of Allah, this also happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what, Usama? After he said, La ilaha illallah, you still killed him? Allah shakakta an qalbi. Why didn't you split open his heart to judge from there if he was sincere or not? No, Usama, you can never do such a thing. Usama radiallahu anhu says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so upset. I had wished that I had accepted Islam on that day, meaning not to displease Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi like that. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi said, O Usama, فَكَيْفَ لَكَ بِلَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. What will you do if La ilaha illallah comes on the day of Qiyamah? O Usama, no, it shouldn't be like that. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi repeated himself, why didn't you open his heart? Why didn't you ascertain? Meaning you cannot do that. When a person said, La ilaha illallah, Usama radiallahu anhu says, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنِّنْ سَلَخْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ عَمَلٍ عَمِلْتُهُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so upset, I wished I didn't have other deeds, but I just accepted Islam that day, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so upset. And I realized after that, I can never ever fight against any Muslim after what I learned from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. From this, Usama radiallahu anhu says that later on, there were some challenges that came about in the Ummah, and Usama radiallahu anhu was called by Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali radiallahu anhu says, Oh Usama, shouldn't you be by my side? Usama radiallahu anhu says to Ali radiallahu anhu, Ya Aba Hassan, innaka wallah, by Allah, oh Ali radiallahu anhu, if you were fighting a lion and you were grabbing the claws of a lion, I would have grabbed the other claws to be with you, to live together and to die together. But in this case here, I cannot do anything, because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught me in this regard that I will not stand up facing any Muslim. So this was Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu showed so much of regard for Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says that when Umar radiallahu anhu would give, you know, from the Baytul Mal to the different Sahaba according to their status and according to their participation on the different occasions with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi, Umar radiallahu anhu would give Usama more than him. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says that Umar radiallahu anhu, my father would give Usama more than me. On one occasion, he gave me 3,000 dirham, and he gave Usama bin Zayd 3,500. So Abdullah bin Umar says to his father, Umar radiallahu anhu, father, lima faddalta Usama alayya? I just like to know the reason of giving Usama preference over me, my father. By Allah, he was not a participant of more sacrifices than me, or occasions with Rasulullah s.a.w. than me. So any reason for that? He didn't supersede me to Hijrah and so forth. Umar radiallahu anhu said, because his father Zayd was more beloved to Rasulullah s.a.w. than your father Umar, and Usama was more beloved to Rasulullah s.a.w. than you, my son. So I prefer he who Allah's Nabi loved over he who I love more. Yeah, my respected listeners, this was the love of Sahaba for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the respect of Sahaba for each other. And Abdullah bin Umar was very happy with that explanation from his father. So my respected listeners, this is the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usama bin Zayd made so much of qurbani, made so much of sacrifice, striving in Allah's path. There is one amazing incident that Usama radiallahu anhu was, it was during the reign of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he had some date palm trees. So Usama was shaving off the bark of the tree, and he was trying to reach the date palm tree heart. It's a pulp of a tree. It's called Jummar in Arabic. Jummar. So Muhammad bin Sirin says that Usama bin Zayd went, and now he's climbing the tree, clipping it off, and he's taking out the Jummar. It's known as the heart of the tree. The date palm tree has a heart, and some refer to it with the description of being like a head, Jummar. But it's called a date pulp, a date palm pulp. He takes it out. But something you have to remember, my respected listeners, is a date palm tree is very similar to the human being. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba on one occasion, which is the tree that is very similar to a human being or very similar to a Muslim? And Sahaba wanted to listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the date palm tree. Ulama explained under this hadith the amazing resemblance between the human being and the date palm tree. One of these similarities is, any normal tree, if you remove the top of the tree, it will still continue growing, and sometimes even better. But the date palm tree, if you remove the jummar, the heart, or you can describe it as the head, because it comes in the middle and on top, if you remove that, the tree perishes and dies immediately. It will not last after that, nor will it give you any produce. Just like the human being, if you remove his head, he will not live after that. Another similitude is, a normal tree breathes in carbon dioxide and takes out, exhales oxygen. The human being breathes in oxygen and exhales carbon dioxide. Look at the greatness of Allah and the qudrat of Allah. Please, my respected listeners, when we pass a tree, think about the greatness of Allah. When we look at the mountain, think about the might of Allah, the power of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, the greatness of Allah. How powerful Allah is, how great Allah is, how merciful Allah is. This is our job and responsibility Allah has given us, to talk about Allah, to speak about Allah. So tell mankind how great Allah is, how merciful Allah is, how powerful Allah is, the oneness of Allah, the uniqueness of Allah, the beauty of Allah. Everything we see should remind us of Allah. Alhamdulillah, we came to make khidmah of this jamaat from Makkah Mukarramah. They're enjoying it so much. Alhamdulillah, a little while they're spending in Cape Town also. And they were so amazed at this sticker of calling to Allah Ta'ala. Some of them are teachers in the universities there. And they say, we have not seen anything like this beautiful work of inviting to Allah Ta'ala. They were asking me actually in the Ijtima, when again is the next Ijtima? We want to come and experience it again. I'm going to go to Makkah and tell all the ulama how beautiful is this inviting to Allah Ta'ala and how beautiful was the Ijtima. So I was telling him, we were mentioning how beautiful, how merciful Allah Ta'ala is. But imagine we're breathing in oxygen, we're taking out carbon dioxide. The tree that you are passing is inhaling carbon dioxide, the poison we take out, and is exhaling oxygen that we need. But the difference is, the date palm tree is like the human being. It also inhales oxygen like we inhale oxygen, and it takes out carbon dioxide. That's why The Sahaba, when they migrated to Medina Munawwara, they weren't used to the environment of Medina Munawwara, because in Medina Munawwara there's a lot of date palm trees that's breathing in oxygen like the human being. Another similitude between the believer and the date palm tree is, a believer must have akhlaq. Someone is harsh with him, helps him. The believer shows him sweetness, petals, kindness, akhlaq, sweet word, character, ikram. The date palm tree, the more you throw stones at it, the more it will give you dates. Another similitude is, the date palm tree grows deep in the ground, starts very deep. In the same way, the believer should be deep and firm in his iman. Another similitude is, a date gives you different dates, in different seasons, different dates. But all the time it has. In the same way, a believer should be granting a'mal and doing a'mal in all seasons. We must not only do deen, be seasonal Muslims, but we must be people who are perpetually in the a'mal of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke of this similitude. So Usama now goes and he removes the jummar. So they asked him, why are you removing the jummar? You're destroying this tree. The value of one tree at this time is 1,000 dirham. My respected listeners, listen to the response of this great Sahabi. When he was asked, why do you remove the pulp of the date, when the whole date tree, the pulp of the date palm tree, when by doing so, you would destroy the entire tree and you would lose so much of profit. When this one tree is evaluated at 1,000 dirhams at this point in time. Look at the response of this great Sahabi. May Allah give us tawfiq, my respected listeners. Wherein he says, my mother asked me now for this jumbar, for this pulp, and I can never ever refuse my mother. وَلَا تَسْأَلُنِي شَيْئًا أَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أَعْطَيْتُهَا. Anything my mother asks me that is in my capacity, I will go out of my way in arranging it for my mother. My respected listeners, let's take this lesson from this great Sahabi and from the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should go out of our way to make khidmah and bring comfort to our parents. My respected listeners, Usama radiallahu anhu reports an amazing hadith. This comes in the Sahih Bukhari. He says, I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was on a donkey riding. He took me along with him, and we were on our way to visit Sa'd bin Ubadah, because Sa'd bin Ubadah was ill. And we passed by a gathering, and in this gathering was a man by the name of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He was in the gathering, and there were other Muslims in the gathering, and there were some mushrikeen there, idol worshippers, and some Yahud there. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam greeted them all with salam, greeted the Muslims there with salam. And in this gathering was also a great Sahabi among the Muslims, Abdullah bin Rawaha. So Sahaba used to also mix with everybody and share the beauty of deen with them. And then when they were, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approached the gathering to share something about deen, the dust from the conveyance of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enveloped the gathering. Abdullah bin Ubay covered his nose and disrespectfully said, "La tughbiru alayna, do not bring dust upon us, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam greeted. He didn't respond to Abdullah bin Ubay. He greeted and he stood there. And he found the opportunity and he invited them to Allah. He recited the Quran Kareem to them. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul said something. And before I share with you what this man said, my respected listeners, I want you to ponder. I want you to think for a few moments that this man is a munafiq. Abdullah bin Ubay is a hypocrite. We should not be like him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the gathering to share something with them regarding the deen of Allah. Abdullah bin Ubay says, Ayyuhal mar, O man, innahu la ahsana mimma taqul in kana haqqan, fala tu'zina bihi fi majlisina. Very good. What you're saying is very, very nice. If it is true, there's nothing better than it. So he's putting there if it is true. And then he's saying, but please, don't come by us and tell us these stories. Go to your own house. If we want to hear you, we'll come listen to you. My respected listeners, Allah save us. Allah save us from this being our response. Sometimes brothers will come to our house. They're also taking our time. They're also busy. We went to work, they also went to work, my respected listeners. If we complain that no, they're coming at a time when we're eating supper, which other time do we want the brothers to come, my respected listeners? After Asr, sometimes we're still at work. After Isha, we are tired. After Maghrib, they also want to eat, but they're sparing some time to come to our homes, to sit for a few moments, to speak about Allah, to speak about Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This should not be our response, imitating the response of Abdullah bin Ubay, wherein he said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go to your house. If we want to hear you, we'll come to you. But what should our response be? What the Sahabi said, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, faghshana bihi fi majalisina. No, we love you to come to our gatherings. We must come to you also, and you must come to us also, O Nabi of Allah. Any opportunity you can share with us, you must come to us, O Nabi of Allah. We love to hear from you. We love to learn from you. My response be our response. When brothers come to our house, they've also taken our time. They're also tired. They also have families. They're not coming because they got no other work, my respected listeners. They're coming for Allah's sake. They're coming for the deen of Allah. And the same brothers are going to the different countries of the world, and thousands and millions of people, their iman is being saved through this one mulaqat. There was one brother who visited us from America. He came to Darul Uloom above a month ago. He brought his two sons there to madrasa. And he was telling me that there was a brother that they traveled 500 kilometers to get to in Dallas. And finally they found his house. They used the GPS looking for the Muslims, and they get to this one house, and they got to the house, but they see the house is not there. Luckily, he says, the gate was open, we entered, it was a farm. We drove for another couple of kilometers. We get to this huge mansion. We knock the door. He says, this man comes to the door, and he's dressed with this American garment, like a jeans. Greet him with, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He responds to the salam. And he says, why have you all come? They say, we've come to meet you for the sake of Allah. He says, haven't you all come for anything else? They said, no, we've only come to meet you because you are our brother and we love you for Allah's sake. He says, come in. And the brothers came in. They sat in his lounge. And he asked, are you sure you only came for this? I have not seen this in my life. I'm here in America for 40 years. No one ever came to my door to greet me with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and to meet me for Allah's sake. I've never seen this in my life. Are you sure? They said, yes. He says, please, you all must stay. Wait for my sons to come. I got five sons. I'm going to call them. That today I have seen Muslims. Today I have seen Muslims. Beloved brothers, appreciate it when the brothers come to our door. That they've come for Allah's sake. This is what Anbiya alayhi wasalam used to do. So we complete with this hadith of Usama. This hadith, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi went to visit the gathering, and he was on his way to Abdullah bin Ubay's on his way to Sa'd bin Ubadah, who was ill. This comes in Muslim Sharif, and the Rawi, the narrator of this hadith, is Usama radiallahu anhu. Allah give us appreciation of each other, my respected listeners, and Allah give us tawfiq to also come out to talk to one person about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. We'll continue with the life of this great Sahabi, Usama bin Zayd, who was Al-Hib and Hibbu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Al-Hib ibn al-Hib, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the beloved, the son of the beloved. May Allah give us tawfiq. Let's take a few moments to read quls for this Sahabi, and Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.